I believe the Lord's been glorified this morning. Baptisms, worship music, prayer, he has been glorified. And I believe that he's going to be glorified as we open the Word of God, as we hear what he has laid on my heart this week. And I'm telling you, he's laid something on my heart this week. My study this week has been deep and wide, I promise you. In fact, I was going another direction. But I'm telling you, the Lord just laid this message on my heart. You know, we've been in a series entitled Glorify. And we've talked a lot about glorifying the Lord. And we listed numerous ways during this series about how we glorify him. We glorify him by remembering the atoning death of Jesus. We glorify him by abiding in Jesus on a consistent basis and allowing him to produce much spiritual fruit through our lives. We glorify him by getting up every day and asking ourselves and asking him to help us to please him that day. We glorify him when we go through tough times, and we do so with an eye upon the Lord, and we allow the watching world, our friends and our neighbors and our relatives, to see how a true believer handles the difficult things in life. And he's glorified. We glorify him by committing to sexual purity. We live in a dirty world. I'm telling you, it is absolutely filthy. Filthy language, filthy stuff that our eyes are able to see if we want to. And we glorify him when we put others before ourselves. And we glorify him when we make generosity a priority, when we rely on God's promises, when we worship the Lord like we have today, when we respect the Lord, that there's a reverence in our heart for him, and when we serve him with all of our heart, we glorify him. I'll tell you, it's very important that each and every believer in this room glorify the Lord. Hey, if I ask you this question, how would you answer? What is your number one purpose in this life? I mean your number one purpose. Exactly right. Somebody got it right over here. That's right. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, we spent the whole Glorify series talking about how to glorify him, but we haven't talked much about that last part. To enjoy him forever. You know, the Bible says that your life is like a vapor. It's here one moment and it's gone the next. I mean, it just seems like I blinked my eyes and now I'm 70 years old, about to be 71. That's hard for me to believe. Our life is like a vapor. It's here one moment, it's gone the next. And the Bible says, David said this, our lives, when we come to the point of death, it's like water that's spilled. And you can't get it up again. If I had a glass of water up here and I accidentally spilled it, there's no way that I could scoop that water up and get it back in my glass. And that's what the Bible says about death. So I tell you, if you're going to get this answer to the question, what's the number one purpose in life, right, you better do it right now. Because you don't know how much longer you have. I just heard this week about tragedies where young people have died, and it is a tragedy, and it's a heartbreak. We just never know, do we? So what's your number one purpose in life? Is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, those last three words, enjoy him forever, take us to another place and another time. This life is over. If you sincerely trusted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, you will have experienced genuine salvation in the truest sense of the word. Now, before I get into the meat of the message, let's just pause and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that in my study this week, the Spirit of God, your Spirit just kept driving me into the Word, into this subject that we're looking at today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower me and enable me to share what you've laid on my heart in a way that's understandable and applicable to every person who's listening to my voice today. Lord, we love you. You've been so good to us. And I pray that we would give reverence to you this morning by listening carefully to the Word of God, by opening our heart so that you can do whatever you want to do in our lives, because you deserve to have absolute sway over every aspect of our being. So, Lord, do a work in our heart. Pour out the Spirit of God during this time. I pray that those who are not saved would be saved. I pray that those who are saved and maybe they've become stagnant in their faith, I pray, Lord, that they would be revived and re-energized spiritually today. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to speak to you today on this subject, the believer's glory. Now, we've been looking at the glory of the Lord, but now we're going to look at the believer's glory. And you may say, Pastor, that sounds almost blasphemous. All glory goes to God. But I've got some good news for you. Do you realize that the Bible says that God desires to share his glory with us? He does. And we're going to look at that today. The believer's glory. Now, when we think about salvation, I'm not so sure that most of us understand the full scope of salvation. There are three key words that help us to understand what salvation really is in a biblical sense. The first word is justification. Do you realize that you were born as a sinner? You were born with the sin nature. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to be a believer, to really be saved, to know that you know that you know that you're right with God, you have got to come to a place where you're willing to repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Listen to what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, there's that word, justified, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you today, do you have peace with God? Do you? Do you have peace in knowing that you're right with him, that if you drop dead today, that you'd be with him in glory? Do you have that kind of peace? And then the Bible goes on to say in verse 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, that's Jesus, also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt, now listen, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. That's spoken to believers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul wrote, he made him, that Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God the Father took all of our filthy, vile sins that we would ever commit from the moment we were born until the moment we die, and he placed it upon his Son, the Lord Jesus, on the cross that the choir just sang about, and he shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be right with God, justified before God. And that's justification. That happens in a moment of time. Justification is not something that takes place over a period of time. It happens when you repent of your sin and place your faith in Jesus. And then that, when you're justified, it triggers the second key word in the the drama of salvation. And the second key word is sanctification. Sanctification. Now, to sanctify a person is to make him or her holy. It's not something that happens in a snapshot of time. See, I was justified at Mississippi State when I was 20 years old. 20 years old. And from that moment in my dorm room at Mississippi State, the Holy Spirit of God has been sanctifying me and making me holy and conforming me to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In 1 Peter 2:24, the Bible says, "And he himself," that Jesus, "bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." Embedded in that verse is the idea of sanctification. Did you hear it? Let me repeat it to you. "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." See, that's it. That's sanctification. When you die to sin and live to righteousness. It doesn't happen at snap of a finger. It happens over the course of your lifetime as a believer. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul wrote, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." Do you see that word transform there in 2 Corinthians 3:18? It's the same idea as metamorphosis. Now think about this. If I had an old, ugly caterpillar up here, let me ask you, is the DNA of that caterpillar, is its genetic makeup that of a caterpillar or a butterfly? Oh, no. The genetic makeup of that caterpillar is a butterfly. And you know what happens? That old ugly worm thing, caterpillar, begins to make a cocoon, right? Lives in that cocoon for a while, and something is taking place inside that cocoon. That worm, that caterpillar, is becoming a butterfly. And then you'll notice that cocoon begins to break open. And first, you see a beautiful wing come out. And then it goes back in. And then a little while later, another wing comes out. And finally, the cocoon just absolutely disintegrates. And a beautiful butterfly flies away. Do you know that when you were saved, when you were justified, you were given the genetic makeup of a born-again believer, of a Christ follower, of somebody who dies to sin and lives to righteousness, of somebody who is conformed to the image of Jesus from day to day and from glory to glory. Now listen, this phase of the salvation process will persist until you die or Jesus comes again. That's how long the sanctification process lasts. From the moment you're saved until the moment you die or Jesus comes again. Now, once you die or Jesus comes again, that triggers the third step in the process of salvation, and that's glorification. Glorification. The word hope, as used in the Bible, it's not some kind of wish. It's not some kind of cross your finger and hope and pray that you have luck. No, that's not what hope is in the Bible. It indicates a confident expectation. Now listen to Titus chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, where Paul wrote, "He saved us." How many of you can say today, "He saved me"? Can you say that? Man, I can. He saved me. I didn't save myself, I promise you that. I was too nasty to save myself, but I tell you, Jesus saved me. He changed me. And he's changing me right now. But one day, one glorious day, I'm going to step into his presence. And the Bible goes on to say in Titus 3, 5 through 7, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. Thank God that our Lord is a merciful God and a grace-filled God. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified, there's that word, by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you realize that if you've been justified, and if you've been sanctified, you're in the process of sanctification, then one day, my friend, the Bible says that you will inherit eternal life. You're an heir of God. You're an heir of Christ. Christians often admit this. I know I should be looking forward to heaven. I know I should be looking forward to it more than anything on this earth. But to be honest with you, people would say, I don't understand death, and I'm afraid to die. And I'm afraid of what happens after I die. Listen, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 27, Paul wrote, of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden from ages past and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, now listen to this very carefully. Paul wrote this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, the confident expectation of glory. Now let me say this. If you're a born-again believer and you've been justified and the Holy Spirit has been sanctifying you since the time you were justified, making you more like Jesus, culling out stuff that shouldn't be there, inserting stuff that should be there as a follower of Christ with the DNA of a child of God, do you realize that the Bible says you don't have anything to fear of death? You realize that? You don't have anything to fear. As you approach your own death, you don't have to die with your fingers crossed, hoping for luck, hoping, wishing, and hoping that somehow you make it to the promised land of heaven. You don't have to die like that. You could die with confidence, knowing that the minute you close your eyes in death, you're going to open your eyes in the presence of the Lord. I tell you, it's a glorious thing to know that you know that you know that you're saved, that Jesus is going to make sure to fulfill his promise to you when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. He promised that to you. And that is yours as a believer. And so when you're approaching death, whether you have cancer, whether you're struggling with your heart, whatever causes your death, maybe even a tragic accident, and then in a split second you've got that thought, what's going to happen to me? I tell you, you can know that you're about to be in the presence of God. You're about to step into the glory of God. Philippians 1:21, Paul had that confidence. He said, for to me to live is Christ. In other words, as long as I'm living on this planet, I'm going to love Jesus. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to conform me to his image and get stuff out of my life that shouldn't be there and put stuff in there that should be there. For to me to live is Christ. Now listen to what he said. And to die is gain. That word gain in the Greek language is a business term. It means to make a profit. Paul said, look, it's profitable for me to die. Now, how could you possibly say it's profitable for you to die? Because you're going to receive what he's promised you. You're going to step into his glory. You're going to share his glory. Listen, the moment you die, your soul will go to heaven. Just like that. Now, some say, well, your soul will go to purgatory and you'll have to pay off some sins that you have not been paid for by Jesus. Can I tell you, Jesus paid for every sin that you've ever committed in your life with his blood. There's nothing you can do to merit what God so graciously has provided for you. And some people say, well, you go into soul sleep. And until Christ comes again and your body's resurrected from the dead, your soul just goes in kind of a hibernation like a bear. There's nothing biblical about that at all. The Bible says that the moment you die, to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. Listen to it. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and rather prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Now, in the presence of the Lord, you as a born-again believer, somebody who has been justified and sanctified, now you're in the presence of God, and in the presence of the Lord, you will never be tempted to sin again. Oh, is that not going to be wonderful? In the presence of God, you'll be saturated with fullness of his joy. Joy like you've never experienced on this planet. And then you will benefit from an array of pleasures that God provides for those who have been justified and sanctified and now are being glorified. You will never be sick or fret about dying again. You will live in perfect harmony with God and with everyone else in heaven. You will experience a deeper fellowship with God than you've ever experienced in your life. And it will go on and on and on. And you will never plumb the depths of the glory of God and the wisdom of God. For all of eternity, you'll be learning new things about God and experiencing God in new and fresh and robust ways. That's the spiritual side of glorification. But there is a physical side to glorification. Believe it or not, the Bible says that one day, your body that will, remember, the moment you die, your soul goes to be with Jesus, right? You got it? Well, your body will go into a grave. We've had a lot of funerals lately. And it's always a solemn moment when you see a believer who has trusted Jesus, been justified, sanctified, and they're now glorified in the spiritual realm, that their soul is with the Lord, but their body is right there in a casket. And that body is lowered into the grave. But one day the Bible says that body's going to come out of that grave. Because God is just as concerned about the body as he is your spirit and your soul. Now, the process, now listen, the process of salvation is not complete until our bodies have been raised from the dead. Glorification involves the resurrection of the body from the grave, not only the bringing of your soul into heaven and experiencing all of these wonderful things from the hand of our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44, the Bible says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised, hold on to your seat now, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Then in verse 50, the Bible says, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die. You realize it's not necessarily true that you're going to die. He said, we will not all sleep or die. Then he goes on to say, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. The Bible teaches that if you're alive when Jesus comes again, that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, your body will be transformed and prepared for the glory of heaven for all of eternity. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, Paul talks about it again. He said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Every believer whose soul is going to be with Jesus in heaven, they will, when Christ comes again, they will come with him, and their bodies will be resurrected from the dead, changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, totally transformed, and will be reunited with their soul. That's what the Bible teaches. That's glorification. And glorification is not complete until the body is raised from the dead. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always, I love this part. Are you ready for this? We shall always be with the Lord. Isn't that what you want? I mean, don't you really want to spend eternity with Jesus? Maybe here today, maybe you're watching live stream, and the Holy Spirit of God has given you an invitation to believe in Jesus and to receive his life. Sometimes I think we've done a disservice to people by telling them to invite Jesus into their life. Jesus doesn't want their old nasty life. Jesus wants to give them his life, a life full of purpose, a life full of hope, a life full of forgiveness and grace and mercy. That's what he wants to give you. If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I beg you today, give your heart to Jesus. Believe in him. Trust him as your Savior and Lord, and he will give you his life. There's nothing to compare with his life. Are you a true believer? I want you to understand this truth that flows out of this idea of glorification. If you're a true believer, you are destined for glory. Hey, turn to your neighbor and say, I am destined for glory. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you really believe what you just told your neighbor? Well, if you really believe what you just told your neighbor, then it will impact every part of your life. You'll never be the same. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God had chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to share his glory with you. Now, he will only share his glory with those who believe in him. What a staggering truth this is. I got to thinking about that. of a biblical illustration of sharing his glory with human beings. And I thought about the transfiguration. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. The veil that had guarded his Shekinah glory and hidden his Shekinah glory was suddenly removed, and Peter, James, and John saw the full spectrum of his Shekinah glory. They also saw something else. They saw Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets. And you know what they talked about? You know what Moses, Elijah, and Jesus talked about? They talked about Jesus coming death, atoning death on the cross. And I thought about, now here, Moses and Elijah have been dead for a long time. And here their souls appear in a temporary body, and they're sharing in the glory of Jesus in that moment. And that's what he's invited you to if you're a believer. Can I ask you a question? How could you turn that down? I mean, what in this world compares with that? Nothing. So you are destined for glory. Now, that should make all the difference in the world in your life. There are three things I want to drop in your heart as we close. This is what this truth should do in your life. Number one, live with an eternal perspective. Listen to what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. So if you really believe this, when you told your neighbor, I'm destined for glory, if you really believe that, then for the rest of your life, as a follower of Christ with the DNA and genetics of a child of God, then you should live with an eternal perspective. What does it mean? Well, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Keep seeking those things. Don't seek the things of this world. It's like silly putty. And then set your mind on the things above, how you think. What are you thinking about these days? You should be thinking about the things of God. You should be reading your Bible, allowing the Word of God to soak into your mind, spirit, and soul. Live with an eternal perspective. Number two, remember you're destined for glory, therefore live with an eternal perspective. Number two, face hard times with confidence. You know, with Jesus, the cross came before the crown, right? Jesus suffered. You know what he told his disciples? He said, you're going to suffer too. Suffering and glory goes together. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let me read this to you. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. F.F. Bruce made this statement. He said, it is not merely that the glory is a compensation for the suffering, it actually grows out of the suffering. 2 Corinthians 4:17, listen to it. For momentary light affliction is producing for us. Now, who's the us? Believers. Momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Do you realize that you're building in the bank of heaven the glory that you will experience one day? Right here as you live out your life. As you go through these tough times, and we all have them, right? As you go through these tough times, the Bible says that you are producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. God's just putting your glory in a bank for you, holding it for you till you get to heaven. Nothing that you will ever face will ever compare to the glory of God and the believer, the glory that you will experience as a believer in the presence of God in heaven. Here's a third thing. Remember, you are destined for glory. Therefore, live with an eternal perspective. Number two, face hard times with confidence. And number three, anticipate the blessings of God. Anticipate them. Do you realize that you have an amazing inheritance waiting for you in glory? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." We're talking about anticipating the blessings of God. Have you ever given much thought to this? Have you ever given much thought to the inheritance that Jesus has prepared for you in heaven? That's part of what it means to share his glory. I mean, this inheritance is amazing. It's imperishable. It's undefiled. Will never fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's under a lockbox waiting for you. And you will reign with Christ. The Bible says for all of eternity, you will serve Christ in the new heaven and the new earth. Listen, D.L. Moody is one of the greatest evangelists to ever walk the American soil, I promise you. And he had a singer who went with him to all of his revivals. The singer's name was Ira Sankey. And boy, they were a great team. Ira Sankey, most of the time, sang a cappella. They said he didn't have a voice like Joshua does. But the Spirit of God was all over him. And he used to sing this song at those revival meetings. "Oh, that will be glory." Listen to the words. "When all my labors and trials are over, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace I'm accorded in heaven a place, just to be there to look on his face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I've loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior, I know, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by his grace I shall look on his face, that will be glory for me, glory for me." It's sad that oftentimes when Ira Sankey would sing that song in the midst of a revival service, D.L. Moody wouldn't even preach. He would issue an invitation, and hundreds of people would come to faith in Christ. That's the power of the glory of God. I want you to remember, you are destined for glory. If you're a believer, you're destined for glory. And I want you to take those three things that we talked about that ought to flow out of understanding that you're destined for glory and make them a part of your life every single day. And then if you're here and you're not a believer, if you've turned down the invitation of Jesus to have his life, here's another invitation just waiting for you. Come to Christ today. Put your faith in him. And he will justify you. And he will begin the process of sanctification in your life. And at some point in the future, he'll usher you into glorification. That can all be yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, have your way in our hearts. Oh God in heaven, don't let us ignore the fact that as a believer, we're destined for glory. Don't let the unbeliever within the sound of my voice say a resounding no to you again. Oh God in heaven, I pray that the Holy Spirit would melt their heart and soul like sun melts ice on a hot August day. Oh God, save their souls today. Lord Jesus, give them your life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want our staff to come real quickly. And we're going to invite you in just a moment to stand. And we're going to worship. And you have an opportunity as a believer to come to this altar and nail these three things that we talked about today down in your life. And thank God, thank him that you're saved, that you've been justified, that he's sanctifying you, and you will be glorified one day. Thank him and praise him. And then if you want to be saved today, you come to one of our staff members. Tell him you want to be saved. We'll help you. Let's stand and worship.